Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click a like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler. At AJ is the real. At, what the hell is it again? ParJ94. I had to write it on my show notes because that's not even easy to remember. And people will be driving around saying, what's Jose's Twitter? ParJ94. Okay. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. Not sure what my favorite story from the first hour is. Whether it's the guy getting duped and now the texters are weighing in. Hey, Fred, Elvis here. This is Barry Laminack. Forgot how to spell my name, but I'm holding out of Gal Media until I'm given my own show at 4 to 7.
Well, bye.
Hey, it's me, Jose Altuve.
That was my bit.
Yeah.
Texter.
Yeah. Well. Says this is a direct result of what the media has become. It's like showing a dog a shiny ball and pretending to throw it. You know he's going to take off running.
Hey, Fred, it's me, your wife. I want you to bring home 3 new cats tonight.
No. We're almost to the it's them or me point with the ones we have. So it's funny because I didn't realize it at the time, but we know this guy because he does a show on SB Nation. He was one of the old guys.
I heard that.
That votes on the Hall of Fame that we met at the dinner. And we had the long discussion with about why T.O. didn't belong in the Hall of Fame. That was their take, not ours. Hey, this is Ed Emmett. I'll resign.
I totally forgot it was him.
Yeah. Yeah. See?
You learn something new every day. You learn that sometimes you just made fun of a guy for 15 minutes and...
He works for the same company.
And you know him.
Yep. I'll be honest. He screwed up.
Yeah, it's a knucklehead move.
You can't say sources either when there's only one guy.
Right.
Yeah, because that's misleading. So, oh well. Probably should be suspended for that.
Yeah.
Because the thing ran.
Yeah,
You've got to get a second source, man. Not everybody does it, and that's part of the problem. Shefty certainly doesn't. I mean, he'll get something and tweet it out, but... And I know things have changed, but in the old days, we would get a source, and we missed out on a lot of stories because we didn't have a second source.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just, if you're going to be in a newspaper, you got to be a little more responsible than that. Hey, Fred, it's me, Tiger. I love it. A couple of Tigers texting the show. And, of course, our good friend Holly, who excited over the Eagles, got her tattoo and misspelled Eagles in it.
Oh, it's so great.
That is awesome.
So great.
Yeah, and for those of you asking, you can follow her on Twitter at XOHolly is what it is. I don't know if she's actually put the tattoo on Twitter yet, but I'm sure she will if you ask her nicely. But I want to see the screwed up one.
That's all I care about. I don't want to see the finished product. I want to see when it was messed up. I know she has a picture of that. I know she does.
Alcohol and tattoos. OJ's agent here, he did it. Yeah, I can see where this show's going. Hey, you know what? Because I love the people, I want to give them something.
What do you want to give them?
$50 gift certificate to Sherry's Berries.
It's nice of you.
Send your sweetheart this Valentine's Day beautifully gourmet dipped strawberry gift packages. They start at just $24.99. Take the pressure off and order now. Just head over to berries.com, click on the microphone in the top right corner, and type in the passcode Fred and AJ, spell out A&D. Caller 20. Getting the Sherry's Berries. So, oh God. The texters are very funny today with this. They're enjoying both of those stories. But Yeah, he says just call the team for comment before running with that story. I would, you know, I would try to reach somebody close to the Brady camp or somebody who would know
I mean, he's got to have access to those guys.
You can't just go on an agent's word. And see, and that's how so many stories get leaked anyway. An agent calls somebody and then, Bill O'Brien's guy was doing that for 2 years. And, you can't just run with it. You can't, he's been doing this long enough. He should know better. Oh, well, 713-780-ESPN. Hey, Sexy Fred, it's me, Eva Longoria. I'm looking for a one-night stand. I like that one. RJ tweeted the odds on LeBron's team next year and had Houston as the favorite. Are they really?
According to RJ, they are.
I still think the Lakers. Seems like they made room. This is God. Can I get a shout-out? Hey, this is Tom Brady's wife. Hey. I'm sleeping with OU Mike.
Hey, it's me. God. Hey, this is Jong. I'm at my bachelor party right now. Can you PayPal me $2,000?
Yeah, to NigerianPrince@gmail.com.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one. Oh, man. Hey, Fred Ball, Natalie Portman here. Oh, man. I tell you what, you guys are hilarious today. All right, 713-780-ESPN, and we do have a winner, I'm told, on the berries. I have one more berries giveaway. So stay tuned for that.
Yes. I'm about those berries.
I am, too. So I've got, lots of... Let's take a look at who won the Houston Sports Awards last night, because we voted on those.
We did. Did we pick all the winners?
We were pretty close.
Who did we miss on?
The other thing that came out of it is they're going to start a Houston Sports Hall of Fame. Your inaugural class is the 334s who were there last night, Olajuwon, Ryan, and Earl Campbell.
That seems fair.
Yeah, I think there's a couple other people I would have put, but they didn't wear 34, so it was kind of a cool thing that they did.
But, and those are those are the iconic, that's the iconic Houston sports guys, I think. The most iconic, anyway.
Yeah. So here's your winners. Athlete of the Year.
Jose Altuve.
Yes, the man who was calling me. Jose Altuve. College Athlete of the Year.
Edward Oliver.
High school athlete, I don't even remember who I voted for, but somebody.
High school athlete of the year. Jose's cousin, Felipe, is on the Eisenhower soccer team.
It's someone called Grant Gunnell from St. Pius X.
Oh, that was my second guess.
Yeah, that's what I would have gone with.
Second guess.
See if you get the rest of these right. Coach of the year.
Oh. Mike Vrabel.
That is incorrect.
Sorry. Oh!
You were really close, though. It was A.J. Hinch.
Damn. All right.
Moment of the year.
Game 6 of the World Series.
Game 5 walk-off single.
Oh, that's what I meant. Game 5, yeah.
Fan of the year was that person who caught Carlos Correa's home run, Carson Riley. Executive of the year?
That guy luck-boxed into that award because he was in the right seat. He's fan of the year.
Yeah, but he's also there for, cancer treatment or
what
something.
What about Texan Debbie or whoever one of those weirdos are?
Yeah, they didn't win a World Series. Executive of the year?
Jeff Luhnow?
Yep. They gave Leslie Alexander a Lifetime Achievement Award and the Sportsmanship Award. You'll never guess.
Does he have a no-frills cabin?
He has a no-frills cabin.
Yeah.
He has one leg.
It's J.J. Watt, then. It's got to be.
When we did nominations, I actually nominated Carlos Correa for all the work he did in Puerto Rico because I knew everybody else was going to nominate J.J.,
right.
But I still had to vote for J.J. It was kind of hard not to.
I actually nominated you for that award.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it didn't work out, but I did nominate you.
Uh-huh. So I'm curious about this Hall of Fame, if it's just going to be athletes or what.
Oh, you want in?
Well, I think if there's a media wing.
You should get
in. I think I should be on the list. Yes. Hey, Fred, it's the ex-wife, parentheses, any of them. Been a while, stranger, call me. Hot alien chick. Elmore Leonard here. Check out my new novels. Man, you guys are on a roll today. You're entertaining me. I love that. There's some good ones in there. But yeah, so that was last night, and we'll have a write up on it at some point tonight. But you might want to know how they find out it was a fake source. Well, because the real agent called the paper and said, I don't know where you're getting this. And then the guy came forward and said, yeah, I just pranked him.
Yeah.
And talked about how easy it was.
Yeah, and he's probably gotten this dude fired.
Yeah, well.
Potentially, or at least suspended.
Well, but again, I mean, it's one thing to prank somebody. It's another thing for someone to fall for this. I mean,
it's not the random dude's responsibility. Like, he has no responsibility to not send fake news to a reporter.
Yeah.
The other guy does have a responsibility to make sure he's not getting catfished. Right?
Yeah, well, again,
pretty simple.
Second phone call. So, I'm trying to find the...
Also, like, if people, like, send you a text and it comes from a number you don't recognize...
I don't even answer calls.
I don't answer those calls.
No, I don't either. And if I don't recognize the number, I will ask. Because sometimes my friends change their phone numbers. But if it's not somebody I had before, then I'm not going to... Hell, I'm not going to respond. I don't respond to people I don't know.
Yeah.
Phone call. Because, like, I get these ever since... And this has just been... It's gotten better, but... After we got the loan for the house for like 6 months, every day I was getting three or four calls from, would you like to get a new home loan? I just got this one. Stop. You're eligible for how the hell did you get my number? And it would always be from these places like Des Moines. And so I just don't answer them. And I just listen to the recording and delete them and then block the number. But yeah. But with text, when I don't know the number, I'll ask. And sometimes it's embarrassing because you just forgot to put the name in. But So.
Oh, wow.
Dr. Dre says, I think.
Not Sean, our problem.
Sean Salisbury coached the kid that won.
The high school kid?
Yeah.
Oh.
Way to go, Sean.
Well, congratulations. That's why he got the prize.
Yeah. That's why he won, because of Sean Salisbury. Sean's a damn good quarterback coach. I still think he's going to wind up doing that for a team someday.
Do you think he could coach me and like get me somewhere?
I think it's a little late.
It's too late. I think I still have eligibility, honestly.
What about me?
Dude, you don't have the size, bro. You don't have the arm strength either. You don't have the arm talent.
Dude, go back to soccer.
Yeah.
Could I at least be a slot receiver?
Do you even know how to throw a football?
Of course.
Like an American football.
Yeah, not like, a
football. You know where to put your fingers on the laces and everything, or are you just like?
No, he knows how to throw and do a throw in with a football.
Yeah, do you like grab it by the pointy end and shut like shot put it?
Nah.
Okay. Who do you think's better at throwing a football, you or Juggalo Trey?
I'd guess Trey.
Oh man,
I think I have better hands though, so I'd be a better receiver.
Okay. Yeah, how tall are you?
5'6".
You're never gonna make it.
Not even on the slot?
No!
All right.
Bro, this is a grown man league. What's your 40 time?
I don't know.
No. Unless it's 4.4, we're not even having a conversation.
Solid 5.
Oh, no, that ain't going to get it done in the slot, man.
Are we not 4, 5 minutes over? I don't think
you'd make a high school team.
Are we not 5 minutes over for a break here?
Jose doesn't know. Oh, now he's bringing up music. Yeah, he knows now.
Jeez. ATF Slack says, hey, Fred, it's the ATM woman. I was getting a quickie. It was with Salisbury. You're next. That's not going to make the Chadster happy. Take care of the Chadster. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Getting a lot of hey, Freds. Hey, Fred, it's your wife. Next time, please take longer than 3 minutes. Hey, man, that was 45 seconds of pure bliss. Don't be saying that.
My wife's like, hey, can you hurry this up?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to watch some more TV shows.
I got to go watch This Is Us again.
Yeah, we're on episode 7 of Dark. Yeah, by the way, that This Is Us, from what I understood, the Super Bowl was like the season finale. Sure enough, there was another episode this week, and then they're like, after the Olympics, more episodes of This Is Us. I'm like, oh, no. By the way, and I don't know if anybody knows the premise of This Is Us. I've been watching this show. What television show in the history of TV has had a big mystery or a romantic tension that was building, and then once the event happened, the show was better or even nearly as good?
Never.
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 Like, and the entire first two seasons of This Is Us was a buildup to that dude dying in a fire. Now he's dead, and they're like, can't wait for next season. I'm selling my This Is Us stock right now. I'm out on it.
Well, it's funny. I can always tell when the wife's irritated with me because she watches shows that she knows that I despise. Like Grey's Anatomy will be on when I come home from work. Like, okay, I think I'm going downstairs to watch TV.
Yeah, see, that's a show that my wife knows I don't want anything to do with. Yeah. So she watches that show when I'm not home.
Well, see, she'll do that, but then she'll watch like 5 episodes of it, and then it's still on when I get home. And it's like, she knows what time I get home. It's just like, okay, I'm just trying to irritate you. It works. Hey, is that Disco? Let's get Disco on. What's up, Disco?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good. Don't be a crappy caller. We've had a lot of those lately.
I promise.
Okay.
I promise not to be. So I'm kind of out of breath because my dog, like, ran away. But
did you find it?
Like, a year or two. Yes, I got her.
Oh, okay. Good. So you shouldn't be on the phone with us.
I remember, like, a year or two ago, you were saying that, AJ, your son, the older one, I think, wanted to compete in, like, a talent show, like, singing. And you were like, no.
Yeah.
Because you didn't want him to be, like, embarrassed or whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, so baby Biscuit is 6, and she's in first grade. And today when I picked her up, she wants to compete in a talent show as well. And her and her friends have already decided they're going to be in a band, and she's going to play the ukulele, and the other ones are going to play, like, the kazoo, the keyboard, and the drums.
Does your kid know how to play a ukulele?
Absolutely not. And you can imagine that that is probably going to be a collection of the 4 worst sounds, 6-year-olds playing those instruments. And I'm, like, torn, right? Because I'm torn between, like, your deal, right? Where you don't want her to get up there and, like, embarrass herself.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't want to, like, coddle her. And I know, like, you don't coddle your kids. So I'm kind of wondering, like, what your thought process was when you were doing that, or what do you think I should do?
Okay. Well, first of all, your kid's a different age than mine was when he wanted to be in the stupid talent show. And he has since started taking, like, singing lessons, and he's in choir now, and he also, like, got picked to do, like, the, like, to sing, like, I guess every school picked 5 fifth graders to sing it with the men's choir from the high school where, like, up by my house, Klein High.
Yeah.
And he was one of the 5 kids from his grade that got picked to sing, so he's actually a better singer now, but I honestly think that's because he didn't do the stupid talent show. He probably would have never wanted to do it again. I said, listen, you're not doing the talent show. You don't know how to sing. And now I said, if you want to learn how to sing, we'll put you in choir or music classes, whatever. He's already, my kid does like piano and all kinds of, he's a busy kid. But at 6 years old, and my younger son is about that age, if he wanted to do something like that, I honestly think I'd let him go for it. And
okay.
He's there at the age then, like, where, you know, like, it's not like he's going to be somewhere where kids are going to boo or other 6th graders are going to make fun of her for, you know, for
I don't know, man. Kids suck. Kids can be really, you know what I would do? I'd Milli Vanilli that bitch.
You can't Milli Vanilli a ukulele,
well,
Fred.
No, go have him record it. You know, have him practice and record one. Get one that doesn't suck and then play that live. That's what I would do.
Yeah, you know, I'm like, because I can see what AJ you're saying. Like, the other six-year-olds aren't going to make fun of her. So I think I need to find out, like, is this a school-wide talent show? Because fifth-grade kids are totally different than first grade.
Right.
And they will be rude. So I think I just need to find out, like, what the age range is.
Yeah.
I mean, when I started laughing, when she told me about it, she was like, you think I should tell jokes instead?
Yeah, that's a good
idea.
No,
teacher, like, listen, here's what'll work. This is what I did with my son, and he didn't suck, okay? I taught him, like, three card tricks, and he did a little magic act. And they were very easy, and it made him look like he was a genius, where you just, you know, you pick a card, and you hide the ace of spades and all that. It was very simple. He was about that age when he did it. And he had four tricks, and I think he only screwed up one, and he recovered from it pretty quickly. So everybody thought, hey, not bad, kid. You're not as stupid as we think you are.
All right. So, well, thank you guys so much. A good idea. Maybe I don't want her to be a magician. Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, no. Plus, she's a woman. She'd have to be a magician's assistant.
That's true. All right. Well, thank you guys so
much. Magician's a man's job. All right. Hey, women can't be magicians. This is the sexist portion of the show. A woman can't do that job.
Hey, AJ, it's Disco's six-year-old. Screw you. I shred on the ukulele.
Listen, kid, you're not that good. I hate to break it to you. You ain't that good at it. I've seen better. All right. Fred, I know you've been waiting to hear about Pajamagram.
All so I'll tell day you, long.
I'll tell you about Pajamagram. They've got... I want you to think about this, guys, in your minds, in your cars. Think about this. The softest feel you can imagine. Think about it. You got it? This stuff that Pajamagram's come up with is softer than what you just thought of. It's called Micro Velvet. It's created by the PJ experts at Pajamagram, found only in the Tempting Touch PJs. They are the softest, most luxurious pajamas ever imagined, and your lady wants them. That's the fact. She wants them. Go to pajamagram.com. Get her that blissful comfort that you know she deserves. They're relaxing to wear, irresistible to touch, and when she's happy, you're going to be happy. That's simple Valentine's Day math. A Valentine's Day gift has never felt this tempting. Plus, no need to gift wrap because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. Valentine's Day delivery guaranteed. Visit Pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs today. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you. That's Pajamagram.com.
Restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler.
There's still time to change the world.
And we're back on the Blitz. And it's 5:30 on a Friday. And I'm not sure because, you know, we're deep on the bench here with producers. Please tell me RJ Bell is on the other line.
Boy.
Hey now.
Hey. Oh, hey now. Second hey now worked. Did you give it double hey now? We only got the first
hey now.
One. I'll do the second one. All right. What's going on, RJ?
Oh, not much. Just, had about 2 days where I only worked about, 7 hours. So that wasn't bad this week.
That's not, well, I mean, you could take that. 7 hours. That's not your, what's your usual work day?
Oh, I'll be honest. I put in about, I'd say 65 hours a week.
Oh, look at you.
It's pretty tough.
I never do that. I never do that. They don't pay me enough here.
See, that's why you got to get into your own business, man. Then it's fun putting in that time.
Well, you know, it can be, but, you know, there's a great book for those out there. I don't, I'm a big reader. I try to read probably, at least one book a week. But there's a book called The E-Myth, and it sounds like the internet, like E-Myth, but it's not actually. It's the entrepreneurial myth. And what they talk about is a vast majority of people that run their own business have more stress and quite frankly, more of the little BS that, when you have a boss, there's a sense, oh, the boss, he's letting all this BS happen, but really, when you run your own business, it oftentimes is so much worse because you've got every responsibility, right? One way or the other, either yourself or someone you've hired. And the E-Myth book helps you understand how to, you know, try to minimize some of that stuff. But, you know this, Fred, with your different entrepreneurial endeavors, sometimes just coming in the studio and turning on the mic can be a lot more fun.
Oh, I've said this all the time. This is my escape. When these 3 hours that we do each day this is the fun part for me. The rest of it, you got people whose livelihoods are depending on what you're doing now. So it's there's a lot of responsibility to that, and it's you got to trust yourself to be able to take care of those people too. That's the other thing, and they have to do their jobs on top of that. So,
yeah. which is typically the bigger problem.
Yeah, generally. Although I got a pretty good group here, so far so good. Hey, one of the things you tweeted out that LeBron James will be where he will be next year, and you have the Houston Rockets at +250.
The favorite right now. This is online odds, right? So we're using those. And if we go down the list, let's start there, is Rockets +250, Cavs +275. So pretty close. Lakers 5-1, Golden State 6-1, Detroit 10-1. A lot of people were surprised by that on Twitter. 76ers 10-1, T-Wolves 12-1, Spurs 14-1, Milwaukee 15-1, Knicks 16-1.
I don't understand. I mean, I guess the Cavs, to me, I would guess the Cavs would be the favorite. I would add the Lakers as the second. The Warriors, that price is ridiculous. That should be about 50-1. But the Rockets, I wonder what's making people feel that way about them having such a great chance at him.
Well, my sense is, so what, I mean, again, this is a classic talk radio topic, right? So it's kind of fun, but let's try to maybe think a little differently than the typical host. So what's LeBron trying to accomplish? Let's get the motivation first. Now, obviously, we can't know for sure, but if I ask you guys, he has to make a decision next year, right? So if he stays or goes, it's a decision to stay, right? So what's he looking for?
I mean, I guess he's looking for a situation where he feels like he can continue to win championships.
Okay.
Or get back to winning championships.
I think that's a part of it for sure, right? If there's a situation that's going to decrease his chance to win in any significant way, and I don't think it's so much necessarily just next year, and maybe that's worth quantifying, is how many championships, if he stays with this team for the next 5 years, the next team, what's his over-under for championships, right? So a team like the Lakers, you could make the case perhaps next year maybe the odds are a little less, but over the course of the next 5 years, they're right up there. And then another team like the Cavs, it seems like in theory their chances are best now, and as the years go by, they tend to, you would think, be a little bit less. Because, I mean, who's the good players on that team? I mean, LeBron himself, and we used to have this debate, how many teams could LeBron go to right now and they would be amongst the top five favorites to win the title immediately?
Almost every team in the NBA.
That's some people believe that. And I think that I don't know enough about the fifth man on, the Atlanta Hawks to say you're wrong. But so in general, they're going to be pretty competitive with them regardless. So now the question is, well, what's the incremental quality of player beyond LeBron? I mean, how's the Cavs really stack up right now?
Well, they just got Rodney Hood, which I think is a solid player. I think he's seemingly coming into his own as a player. J.R. Smith is what J.R. Smith is. But Tristan Thompson's he's a fine center. He's nothing special. I think Jeff Green's pretty good. And then if Kevin Love comes back healthy, Kevin Love is obviously the second best player on that team. I think there's talent, but there's not a guy like they had last year and the years previous with Kyrie Irving, who you look at and go, that's the guy who, if LeBron isn't there, Kyrie can still ball out and get this team some wins.
How many players on the Warriors are better than Kevin Love?
Four.
All right, so the second best player on the Cavs would be the fifth best player on the Warriors.
Yes.
So it's kind of hard to win, it would seem, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. The whole, you know, the LeBron being, like, what team could you put LeBron on and make him a championship contender? That argument was way more interesting before the Warriors put what they've put together. Now, I mean, maybe you could put him on the Rockets or the Spurs, and I'd be interested. But
well, hold on a second. LeBron to the Rockets right now, and forget the salary cap, right? Because I don't know enough to critique
all that. I'm not even talking about salary cap.
But hold on a second. You're telling me that you would still have the Warriors favored?
I probably would, yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Okay.
That is insane.
Well,
I mean, I respect it. I mean, I hear you. I'm not saying I'm right. It just, I mean, Fred, what do you think of that?
RJ, how about this? You bet on Mike D'Antoni coach teams in the playoffs, and then we'll see if you end up or down when you're done betting on him.
So he's the issue?
I mean, the team as it's built now, the reason why I don't believe in the Rockets, even as like, I do think they're the second best team in the NBA right now, but I don't believe...
So the second best team in the NBA would add the best player and still not be the best team?
No, they might be. They might be. And that's what I was saying. That's what I was getting to. Them and the Spurs are the teams that I would consider if they were to add LeBron. But the Rockets, as they're built now, Chris Paul, James Harden, Mike D'Antoni, these are playoff bums, historically, playoff bums. And you're talking about a team in Golden State that's a proven championship squad. I'll stay with what I know is going to win in the playoffs.
So what is the current consensus feeling in Houston amongst the smarter NBA fans about Daryl Morey?
I don't know if there's any smart NBA fans when it comes to Daryl Morey. I don't know. Everybody in this town thinks the guy can do no wrong. And I mean, I think he's done a good job piecing this team together, but the guy's never won anything. So it's hard for me to act like he's some sort of, you know, next-level genius when it's like the Billy Bean thing in Oakland. I'm like, yeah, it's cute. You wrote a book about it, but where's your championship ring? He doesn't have one. So I can't look at him and go, oh, well, that's the man. I just don't see it.
Well, you know, it brings up an interesting point is I've always said, and I've done it on this show, if you look at the NBA champions from Bird and Magic onward, so the 80s season, let's say, onward, is every year, except for maybe a handful, and the Pistons in, like, I think 04 would be certainly an exception, but maybe no others, but we could debate, is it was one of the three best players in the league were on the teams that won it. Now, another way people have approached this recently, I thought was interesting, is every team that's won it except that Pistons team has had a top 20 player of all time. Now, we can debate, you know, top 20, who's in the top 20, but think about it, right? Everyone, I mean, Duncan, obviously, for the Spurs, and, I mean, you know, LeBron, obviously, and think about the list, right? So, now, here's the question, is if no coach can overcome winning without a top 20 all-time player, or hardly any, right? I mean, the Pistons were just such an aberration because they had, like, you know, six guys that were amongst the best 30 players in the league.
Well, I think you can say the same thing about the 89 and 90, the Bad Boys Pistons. I don't know that they had a top 20 player of all time, but they had a bunch of really, really good players.
Isaiah Thomas wasn't top 20 of all time?
I'm not putting him in top 20 of all time.
Okay, interesting. And again, we can debate that. But the question here is Harden, where's Harden at right now all time? Where's Harden at in the NBA? You know, two ways to look at it, right? Rank him this year, rank him all time.
I think James is probably a top five player in the NBA. I think that Fred and I have talked about this before, where we would put him. I think LeBron and Kevin Durant are one and two. And then James Harden goes in that bag with Steph Curry and Russ Westbrook. And it comes down to just, it's a matter of preference for who you like.
Here's something I've never thought about until I was just thinking about what you were saying, is Golden State, and it's kind of hard to think this because we always think what's happening now pales in a comparison to the past. And I'm not talking about, you know, could the 85 Celtics beat the Warriors. I'm not talking about that, because obviously the physical side of it's changed a lot. The way I'm thinking about it is we think back and think, oh, Gale Sayers and, oh, you know, so-and-so. And then now when you're living it, it never feels like it's immortal, right? Because you're living it. But this Golden State team is relatively the best team in NBA history, meaning compared to the opposition. I mean, Michael Jordan and the Bulls were even money starting their best seasons. They were never better than even money to win the title. And Golden State started the season like minus 180.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's not even close when you compare how good the Warriors are relatively. Now, we can make the case, oh, but the competition stinks. But that's going to be my question. If the Warriors just were eliminated from the league, this Houston team this year, how would they stack up against any other team of the last 10 years? Could I make the case, and maybe 10 years is too much because the game has changed just so much. So let's say 5 or 6 years. Obviously, the Cavs beat the Warriors a couple years ago, but if they played that series 10 times, Warriors probably win it 7 or 8, you know, looking at
Agreed.
The power rate. So my question is there a team in the last 5 or 6 years other than the Warriors? So you could say the 2014 Spurs or whatever.
Okay.
That are clear that's clearly better than
that's the
Houston.
Team that jumps to mind for me is the I mean, and if we're not talking about LeBron teams, because I think the Heat teams with LeBron and Wade and Bosch, those teams I would argue were better than this team. And maybe that I think those Cavs teams, like last year's Cavs, not this year's obviously, but last year's Cavs team, I think I'd put in that mix too.
Yeah, but that's interesting. The fact you're saying the second best team last year, a team that was very similar to the one that won it the year before, right? The Cavs won it the year mm-hmm. before last year. You're saying this Houston team is you could debate better or equal to that championship Cavs team.
Yeah, you can make an argument.
So it just goes to show you, you know, like the old Phil Mickelson. Right. If there wasn't Tiger.
If there wasn't Tiger. Yeah. But there is Tiger with the Warriors. The Warriors are Tiger.
I know.
So
you're tough, man. You can have the second best team in your city potentially in the last 5 seasons. And you're still just nothing but negative.
Oh, it's not necessarily negativity. It's just the realistic when you really think about it, RJ. And put yourself outside of where I'm trying to put myself outside of where I live. If the Houston Rockets played a 7-game series against the Warriors, can you picture them winning 4 of those games? And I just say, no, I don't see it. Especially the way the Warriors have played the last 4 years, no, I don't see them as being able to do it. And I've thought all along, the only thing that can beat this Warriors team is a LeBron James, like, just dominant playoff performance. Like he had the year that they won, like he did again. He needs to put together a series of games like he did against Minnesota the other night, where he just takes over the game and is the man with the squad he's got this year. That seems less likely than ever. But I just without LeBron James, without that guy, I think the Warriors can figure out a way to slow down everybody else in a 7-game series.
You mentioned Billy Beane and Moneyball, the book, and you know eventually the movie. But one of the premises of the book from Bean's perspective was playoffs have a huge amount of randomness to them. And all you can do is get your reps, right? And maybe you're going to win 1 out of 6, right? So if you make 12 and 12, you know, in 14 years, you're going to win 2 on average. And I think we've proven that with the Patriots, right? I mean, imagine how differently we'd be talking about Belichick and even Brady if they had lost to Seattle, which obviously they were, what, 20% to win when Seattle had the ball, so what, second and 2 on the 2, right? So if he loses that one, and obviously they could have lost that Atlanta game, no problem. If they hadn't won a Super Bowl like in 14 years, would we be saying, oh, see, you know, when he had these guys, it was fine. But now that he's been falling back in the draft, Belichick can't win the big one. He can get there, but he can't win the big one. isn't it just most of these games are going to be coin flippy because you're playing the second best team, and just the more times you can get into the Super Bowl, the better chance you have to win Super Bowls. And I think Billy Beane believed that, and he got in the playoffs a bunch during that era and just never put it together.
I think Billy Beane's full of crap because it's a lot different when it's football. And when it's football, you have to win one game out of one. And if you play your game that day and you play your best and they're not on their game, the best team doesn't always win in football. In fact, I would say the best team wins maybe slightly more than they lose. Whereas over a seven-game series like baseball and basketball have in hockey, typically the best teams end up winning. I mean, now there are exceptions, obviously, but typically the best team ends up winning.
I agree. My last point. I agree that seven games is going to tell you, you know, winning 4-7 is going to tell you more than winning 1 out of 1. But here's something we've never said on this show, and it's something I've just been thinking about and talking to one specific person about. What is the most extreme thing that can happen in a baseball game? Meaning, if there's an A or a B, what is the impact of that A or B? So bases loaded, two outs, bottom of the seventh, you hit a grand slam or you hit even a single versus not, right, versus striking out. That can affect the chance to win the game drastically, right, 20-30% right. or more. In football, one interception, right, one punt return, one play can drastically affect. I mean, if you just add 7 points to a team randomly, they're going to cover almost 70% in the NFL. So just one return for a touchdown take you from 50% to 70% right there. In basketball, the biggest one play is a three-pointer.
Right.
Right. So really, when you have the seven games in the NBA and you have the delta, the marginal difference on any one A or B being so small, I agree with you unequivocally, the sport where the best team wins the most is the NBA playoffs.
Well, here's what I will say in closing on this discussion. I think this Warriors team this year, the Warriors this year have already lost 13 games. Last year they lost 15. They lost 9 the year before and 13 the year before that. So you could argue that this is the worst Warriors team of the last 4 years, or the rest of the conference is better than it's been in the last 4 years. So maybe if you were looking for a year where the Warriors are most vulnerable, maybe this is it. But even with that added in, I just still feel like come playoff time, I'm looking at this team that's got 4 of the top 15 players in the league, and we've never seen anything like that put together before. It just seems like such a daunting hill to climb, you know. And as good as Chris Paul and James Harden are, Kevin Durant's a better player than James Harden. Steph Curry is a better player than Chris Paul. And then the next two best players in that conversation are both on the Warriors. And it just seems, and that's not just the Rockets, that's every team in the NBA. So it just seems like a pretty massive hill to climb.
And lastly, I think that's a fascinating question. Are the regular season losses about apathy and lack of regular season motivation, or are they about the team's just not as good? I would make the case of full motivation, the team's as good as it was last year. I just think that you're not seeing full motivation for Golden State as often during the regular season as you did last year, and certainly not the year before.
Well, I also think it's possible that they're looking at this the same way the Spurs finally started looking at it and saying, man, we're playing, you know, sometimes 25 extra games in our postseason. We need to start resting more in the regular season to make sure we're ready to play these long postseasons. And the Spurs, they were never as dominant in the regular season, but come playoff time, you always knew those dudes were going to come ready to play. I could see the Warriors maybe looking at things a little bit more like that and saying, we don't need to bust our balls to get, you know, 73 wins, because look what good it did us when we got 73 regular season wins. We lost in the finals on the very last game. So I think there may be some of that into it as well.
In closing, I don't plug directly too often, but I did a 2-hour interview with Oscar Goodman, 12-year mayor of New York or of Las Vegas, And also, he was in the movie Casino because the Joe Pesci character, he was a mob lawyer and he represented him. We did a 2-hour podcast and we talked about literally Elvis, Weinstein, literally Mike Tyson, Billy Walters. You can go through the list of like Vegas who's who. And this guy's been there since 1965. It's gotten great feedback. So on my Twitter, at RJ in Vegas, if you like those kind of long form interviews and you like Vegas, I think it's worth checking out.
That actually sounds fascinating. I may do that this weekend, RJ. Thanks for the heads up on that.
You eating for the whole show?
No, I tried to jump in about three times, you guys cut me off. So, well,
I didn't. I'm the guest. What am I doing?
Oh, well, we appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you next week, and I promise I'll get a question in next week. So, no worries.
Thank you, guys.
All right, RJ Bell, follow him on Twitter.
Sorry, Fred.
RJ Bell. No, it's all right. I know. When you get started talking about Rockets versus Warriors, I could have left. There was no way I was going to get in. So,
yeah. Mind you, if LeBron went to the Rockets, of course they would be favored. I just don't know if they would win. I'm not trying to like be hot take guy here. I think that there's still something to be said about guys who have had consistent success in the playoffs versus guys who have had no success in the playoffs.
Well, I do have some thoughts on this, and we'll visit them on the other side. But
on the map?
When we get onto the map, yeah. We'll be moving over to Sports Map 94.1. But first, I'm going to tell you, listen, man, if you got that special person in your life and you're waiting till the last minute, you're running out of time.
Yeah.
You realize that Valentine's Day is early next week. You are screwing up if you haven't done anything
yet. It's the same day every year.
Yeah, we're going to save you, though. We're going to make it look like you planned for this. We're going to make it look like you did the right thing.
We're going to be a hero.
That's
to
you. Right. We're going to save your relationship. This Valentine's Day, send the unforgettable gift of Sherry's Berries. Fresh, juicy strawberries dipped in chocolate, chocolatey goodness, and topped with a rich chocolate chips, chopped nuts, and signature swizzles. Berries arrive in Sherry's Berries signature gift box with a beautiful ribbon. There's no gift wrap required, so it looks like you did all this work. And you didn't. You waited till the last minute. But right now, you can send Sherry's Berries or any other decadent gourmet gift and save 20% on gifts over $29 with the promo code FREDANDAJ.
Yep, you choose the delivery date. It's guaranteed. Customer satisfaction is always number one, or your money back. And I'll tell you, if your lady's anything like mine, she's going to love these berries. My wife loves them every time. I love them every time. I'm not going to lie. Hurry and order today. Valentine's Day is next week. To get 20% off your purchase of $29 or more, go to berries.com, berries.com, and use our promo code FREDANDAJ. That's berries.com. Order today.
It's just a spring clean for the May Queen. Yes, there are two paths you can go by, but in the long run.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.